Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146, presents Lynn Samuels.
Criminal to do that while Janice was singing. That was, I love her. Loved her. You can't love a dead. What the fuck is with that bitch yesterday? What is with her? And am I the only person? Now, Garrett said he noticed this too. She doesn't even use his name. Oh my God, back in the 90s, that was like enough reason. You know, oh, Jesus, Hillary. You know, Hillary, that's how they knew she was a lesbo. Really? Because, you know, like, that's how they knew what an evil person Hillary Clinton was. Because she kept using the name Rodham. But I think she always said Clinton, but she kept the, her maiden name, like, in between. This bitch with the crying. She doesn't even use his name at all. Her name is Martha Ann. Oh, God. Martha Ann Baumgartner, which means one of two things. Either he married a Jew, which I doubt, or she's German. I think Baumgartner would be the Jew. It's Baumgartner. She doesn't use, it's not even Martha Ann Baumgartner Alito. Oh, no. How Republican. You know, these people are such hypocritical scumbags. That's the Republicans. The Democrats, they're assholes. They're assholes. There are so many, you know, it's so funny. I talk about Emily, you know, she every now and then has been my engineer. And now she's working for Martha. So she's like a different person. But, yeah, Emily's kind of like, it's not nice to say this, but I've said she's like an old hippie. You know, she dresses like an old hippie, which, you know, fits in fine because that's all back. You know, she was actually in the avant-garde of the big fashion change. Have you noticed something? I know Garrett's noticed this. Really, skin-tight jeans on girls are back. You haven't noticed that? I notice that every day on the subway where the children's are coming home from school with us. And those girls are like, you know that they have to lie down on the bed to zip them again. You haven't seen that in a very long time with the skin-tight pants. And you get one of those cute little Puerto Rican girls. You know, they start going bad when they're like 20, but, you know, they look hot up until then. They do. So, you know, and Emily, oh, she's a feminist, you know, but she's nice, you know, despite all those things. But she said to me yesterday, why don't they ask him about something important and stop talking about abortion? And I always knew why I liked Emily, because she's not like an idiot. Because they don't ask him about any, you know, really. He belonged to that racist group. We know it was a racist group. We know he belonged to it, and we know he put it on his resume because he figured, oh, these Reagan people are going to love that I belong to this group that hates women's, blacks, Jews, gays, God knows, you know, like everybody. They're going to love it. We know that. Yeah, and he sat there and he lied, you know, and Ted Kennedy, you know who they're comparing Teddy Kennedy to now? Dick McCarthy. Not the good McCarthy, Joe McCarthy, who's only good to like Ann Coulter and her crap. It's McCarthy, it's guilt by association. The question is, why, out of everything you had done in your life in 1985, why did you put that on your resume? Why? The only two things you ever joined were the Federalist Society and the you know, racist Princeton alumni. They should have called it RAP. Racist Alumni of Princeton instead of CAP, Concerned Alumni. But I mean, it's like so obvious. This is all I can't stand. It's like it is such a charade. Then from what I read, because I can't watch it. I know people that I consider not stupid, but people that are lazy. You know, can't they don't read a book. They riveted to these hearings, saying to me, I don't know how you could not watch them. You're a talk show. I'm like, please. Is pantomime quiz still on? Is there like all those charades games they used to have? What is the point? So somebody said, was it Joe Biden? Yes. Who apparently spoke for his entire 20 minutes and never got to a question mark. Never got to the question mark at all. Because this is, but he's smart enough to say this is all a crock. And they shouldn't be televised and this isn't how it should be done. Even though he's absolutely one of the worst offenders. And then you heard, I don't have any of these sound clips. I don't know where anybody got these to tell you. Oh, maybe they're on CNN. I don't know. But if you listen, believe me, if you're listening to me, you're like a talk radio fanatic. You heard this. with Kennedy and Arlen Specter. I sent you the letter. Well, just because you sent the letter doesn't mean I got the letter. They're having like this 3 minutes. Two senators, you know, don't you tell me you sent it. Just because you sent it doesn't mean I got it. Sending it doesn't mean... Oh, my God, merciful heaven. How much money do these people make? I know they make a good deal more than I do. What are they up to, about $160,000 a year? To sit and argue? First of all, the senators, I don't think they go outside to a mailbox to mail each other letters. Do you? If I want to send a letter to Jay Clark, do we have like an internal mail thing? Don't we have look at that. There's something that technology hasn't gotten its hands on. Internal mail systems. Because unless you use an email, if you have to literally send somebody a piece of paper, how many years you have that envelope, that manila envelope with the string and all the lines on the back, and everybody signs it when they get it or when they send it or something? That's been like that for 40 or 50 years. That's amazing. The things that technology doesn't touch. Well, with all the email and everything, there's still offices with those envelopes. So, Arlen Specter was acting like if Ted Kennedy sent him something, he went outside and put a stamp on it and put it in the mailbox. So we had that. And then, you know, Lindsey Graham gets up and says, oh, you're so wonderful. They're calling you a racist. I'm so sorry you have to go through this. Yeah, you know, what the fuck? You know, why don't we just put them on the goddamn Supreme Court? Why don't we just put them on the Supreme Court? Why? I mean, this man is like obviously too delicate to be questioned. You know, it's and the king nominated him. So just put him on. Why should we hold these hearings that are upsetting your wife, who doesn't even use your name? We don't want to upset her. What was that suit? God, what an ugly suit she was wearing. She looks 20 years older than him. And she's weeping, and her sister is there. What is it? You know, people were making a good point. I don't bring my family to... Oh, I don't have a family. Well, you know, if they were around. Do you bring your family to work? What are they doing there? If you can't take the confirmation hearings, get out of the room, bitch. You know, and then, of course, my friend Drudge is reporting it. Oh, she runs out crying after Democratic attacks. First of all, she ran out when Lindsey Graham was apologizing to her. It's all so disgusting. Because then there are people on the right saying, well, these Democrats made up their mind before that they're not voting for him. Oh, and no Republican made up their mind before that they are voting for him. And the mainstream media just trots along. You know, they just trot along going, yes, 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 yes. Nobody says, it's a crack of shit. Have they asked him one substantive question? Have they asked him about Kahlo versus New London? I can't believe I even said that. Which is the property rights. Have they asked him about the story I found? Because I read the editorial in The Nation. I can't believe I said that either, but I did. Which brought up some very disturbing facts about him. First of all, he claims that he went into the law because he was so upset by rulings of the Warren Court about such things as the Establishment Clause. Well, you know what that is? That's no religion. No state religion. Well, this guy, I'm telling you what he is. This guy, they are presenting him as kind of like a mainstream conservative when what he is this guy is so far out of the mainstream to the right. And they're hiding it. And the Democrats being such idiots who can't do anything but yell, you're a racist and you're going to get rid of abortion, are not looking into some of the most horrible things he did. Now, I know this is boring. Here, when Samuel Alito, I have this question for Judge Alito. What about one person, one vote? And it's an article from the New York Times, but it's on some other website. Because it's only from January the 3rd, but you have to pay for the New York Times article already. When Samuel Alito applied for a top job in the Reagan Justice Department, he explained what attracted him to constitutional law as a college student. He was motivated, he said, in large part by disagreement with Warren Court decisions, particularly in the areas of criminal procedure, the Establishment Clause, and reapportionment. Now, what does that mean? I'm sorry, I sound like Randy, because I am going to bore the living shit out of you. Just for a few minutes. I'll go back. I'll say, I promise, I'll tell you this, and then I'll just say, fuck, shit, and cunt, okay? Right after. See, you'll know when I'm finished. See, she can't do that. Maybe she would. You don't know. Okay. Now, I didn't even know this. In 1962, there was a case called Baker versus Carr, which we should know because they should have been asking him this. At that time, legislative districts had wildly unequal numbers of people. I didn't know this. See, now every legislative district in the country has pretty much that, what is it, 230,000 people or something? You know, if you're a district, so your House of Representatives guy and the people in your state legislatures, that the vote of any one district is pretty much equal to the vote of any other district. Because what happened before 1962, when I apparently wasn't paying any attention, I was like 20 years old. Christ, I was drunk day and night. Of course I wasn't. Prior to 1962, to this Supreme Court decision, people from unpopulated rural districts could control state legislatures. Because you'd have one district that would have, like, you know, 5 million people in it. You'd have another district that had four people. And yet the four people could elect a representative, you know, to the state legislature and to the House of Representatives. And the 5 million people would also be electing one representative. So it wasn't like one man and one vote. Is that the vote of the people in the underpopulated district were worth more. In Maryland, 14% of the voters could elect a majority of the state Senate. In Alabama in 1962, the county that includes Birmingham, which had 600,000 people, got the same number of state senators, which was one, as a county that had 15,000 people. So in this Baker versus Carr, Tennessee voters challenged their state's unequal legislative districts, which had not been redrawn in 60 years. In 1946, the Supreme Court had rejected a similar claim, saying it didn't want to enter the political thicket. But in 1962, the Supreme Court ordered that the district lines be redrawn. And then 2 years later, I don't know why, it doesn't explain why they needed two cases to do this. Reynolds versus Sims, the court struck down Alabama's legislative districts. And this decision established a clear mathematical standard that these districts had to have equal number of voters. I can't believe it was like 1960. Oh, well, we only had the Voting Rights Act for blacks in 1964. I guess this was like just, you know, screw the blacks. Okay. So the fact is that Samuel Alito is a Princeton undergraduate. Was against redrawing these districts. He sided with Tennessee and Alabama. Now, it doesn't say why. But this article also says that nobody, and I guess nobody has bothered to ask him, has he ever changed his mind? Does he believe in one man, one vote? I'm sorry, I put up the headline, one man, one vote, when we all know it's one person, one vote. Now, that's a huge question. How can you not be for legislative districts being drawn so that each person's vote is equal, you know, or close to equal? How could you be against that? Even when you're an asshole in college. But is anybody bothered to ask him about that? Now another interesting question, just at the end of this article. Has anybody brought up this bizarre idea he has when they banned machine guns? Remember they banned machine guns? The federal law. I think that ran out. I think now you can have a machine gun again. He wanted to overturn the congressional ban on machine guns. Because, you know, and you have to come up with a reason. You have to say it's unconstitutional. You know what reason he came up with? These people are amazing. They all need a chiropractor from the pretzels they twist themselves into. It interfered with interstate commerce. Well, it's true, it does. You can't be shipping machine guns. There you go. It interferes with interstate commerce. But this one man, one vote. That's important. The Keller versus New London that they apparently, I don't think they ever asked him about. That's important. Whether he belonged to a racist organization when it's very obvious he did. Who cares? Is he going to let them redraw districts, you know, so that everybody in New York, you know, that we get to elect one representative? And, you know, five dairy farmers upstate get to elect one also, so that their votes are worth nothing. There are some important things. So this is why I hate everybody. I'm Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left, 146.
Tom Hartman, right after Alex Bennett and just before Lynn Samuels on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
Oh, well, the great article I posted there about what Biden said has changed. I didn't do anything. My hands never left my soul. Oh, here, it's all the way at the bottom. They, like, updated it. Arlen Specter thanked Alito for being so patient. So he goes through a few nasty days, and then he gets to sit there and turn this country into a fascist dictatorship. Aren't these few days a small price to pay? For getting to sit there for the rest of his life and get out of the house with that crying cunt he's married to so that we can all live. What is it? Oh, thank you for being so patient. Thank you for having the patience to take time out from your busy fascism to go through a fake democratic process. That comes from when I worked at that left-wing station at BAI. There's a labor show that's actually still on the air. I'm not going to mention her name, Mimi Rosenberg. But here's this woman, like, she's dedicated to labor. Labor issues, the laboring men. And, man, she's dripping in jewelry and fur coats and $400 boots. Oh, she kept people busy working, making all her expensive clothing. Mimi. But she is, I must say, well-respected in the labor law community, whatever that is. But she once interviewed somebody. They went, you know, like every time somebody goes on strike, you know, they would bring them on, Mimi and Ken. And she once ended an interview with somebody by saying, thank you for taking time out from your busy struggle to be with us. That's lefty people are like, they're morons. They're just, thanks for taking time out from your busy struggle. And they call like everybody brother and sister. You know, because that's like such a labor thing. They peppered Alito with questions about right-to-die cases, presidential. He believes in any kind of authority. I mean, this is quite obvious. You know, Knight Ritter, this is another, you know, these right-wing people, oh, need to be gotten rid of one way or another. But Knight Ritter, which I really like, because, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I'm so far to the left that when I think somebody's fair, it just means they're to the left. But they appear to me, because they're a small wire service, you know, they seem to me to be really fair. They're my favorite one. And, like, they're fucked because they're going bankrupt, of course. And they're going to be sold and, you know, God knows what will happen to them. But I've liked Knight Ritter for years. They assigned three people to read every written opinion by Sam Alito. Now, this guy's been a judge for, what, 13 years or 15 years? And you can rule on things without writing an opinion. You know, some of these are procedural cases. But he has written a ton of decisions. So they did what news organizations are supposed to do. You say to three people, sit down, read every word this man's written since he's been a judge. If you don't understand something, call these experts. So they really, really, really worked on a really long article. And they came to the conclusion that much more often than not, he will side with the government, with corporations, against people. Now, they didn't say he's never for people. They said that the preponderance, that just as you read every word, he leans towards siding with power, be it governments or a corporation or a police department, whatever, and against individual rights. And it wasn't like some fire-breathing left-wing, you know, he's a sack of shit story. It was obviously something they took seriously. Well, they started getting attacked by the right-wing media as being, you know, like left-wing tools and how unfair and how they lied. And then the favorite, the best thing the right-wing does is mischaracterize everything, right? So the articles are saying, they said that he never sides with an individual. But, then they start all the, you know, mentioning the times he did side with individuals. Whereas the article never said he never sided with individuals. So you can't even have legitimate journalism and legitimate criticism because these people absolutely really believe they are just above, beyond, beneath, I don't know what. They are not to be criticized. You anything you say against the Iraq war, you're giving aid and comfort to the enemy. You know, anything you say against, you can't criticize them. These people are perfect. And they're Nazis. If you go on Drudge Report, here's a link to Knight Ritter. I'll tell you what it is in a minute, because I didn't post this. because it just seems so esoteric. Told NBC, oh, Biden said, the system's kind of broken. This is after he spoke for 20 minutes and never got to a question. Joe. He said on the Today Show, well, that gives it kind of answers why it's broken. I'm sorry, I'm going to go through this. Americans should know how a nominee interprets the Constitution on key social views. But since nominees refuse to discuss their interpretations, citing the possibility they'd have to rule on them in the future, the hearings serve no real purpose, said Biden. Do you know that they sit there? This was in an AP story. I'm very naive. I'm really stupid. They put makeup on those senators. Because they know they're going to be on TV. They're wearing makeup. Oh, my God. And I don't mean like just the women. So the alternative to hearing, said Biden, is just to vote on the Senate floor. Just go to the Senate floor, debate his statements, instead of this game where the nominee sits there and won't discuss his or her views. If the judges aren't going to talk about it, then we should just go to a vote. Makes sense to me. See, for all that he's a camera hog, and that he just uses the hearings to, you know, for self-aggrandizement, and to see how the hair plugs show up on television, he's not an idiot, Biden. You know, he's not far enough to the left for me. But then who would be? Nobody. Nobody. Noam Chomsky and Gore Vidal. That's who's far enough to the left for me. And I'm sure if I, you know, I'm not even sure about them. Gore Vidal I am. Plus he's gay. Could he be the president? He's too old. He's too old. He's too sick. I wish he could live. Gore Vidal and Robert Byrd. But Robert Byrd's like not that far to the left either, only on something. So Joe Biden recognizes it. Actually, do you know that Joe Biden, when did he run for president? It was in 1992. Losing the primary saved his life. I always loved that story. He was running, I don't know, maybe 92, 88. I have no idea. He was running in the primaries, and he lost. And he had been having these terrible headaches. But if he had won, he just would have won, you know, when he'd keep running. He had like a brain tumor. And he says now, you know, like if he had won that primary, he'd probably be dead. We'd have a dead president. We would have had a dead president. Because he never would have taken the time off to say, oh, God, you know, why am I taking like 50 aspirin a day? And they never would have found out that he had a brain tumor. I don't know what that's worth. It's just one of those things I remember. All right, we're going to take a little breaky-poo, and I'm going to... Oh, somebody is calling. Okay. And then I'll take this call. I'm Linda, but I have to talk about Bill Barth. But I'll take the call first. I'm Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left, 146.
Ed Schultz, right after Lynn Samuels, 3 p.m. East, noon out West on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
Are you a young Turk or are you just a regular Turk in Atlanta?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Lynn, how you doing?
Okay, what's up?
Dude, I've been on call. I've been online waiting for 30 minutes.
It's 18.
How you doing?
It was only 18 minutes.
I didn't mind. I didn't mind because I enjoy sitting there listening to you wail away at Olito and his crazy wife ass.
Why doesn't she use his name?
First of all, I'm going to tell you what the whole situation is, Lynn.
Okay.
How in the hell can you grow up in American politics, period? Our Constitution states that's a lifetime appointment. That means a person can be corrupt. All he has to do is president appoint someone in there in the office, and he gets to get in that seat. That means the way the president thinks, going to continue to go on the rest of it till this man die. No one should have a lifetime appointment in anything in government. Because having people, they out of touch in the damn way.
Well, they thought it would mean they could never be corrupted.
Bullshit, they can become more corrupt. Because we change, as our mind changes, as the world changes, how the hell are people going to say they ain't going to ever change? So it really don't matter about...
Oh, but they do change. You know, I mean, famously, there are always these people that were appointed by conservative presidents and they turn into liberals.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear of anybody being appointed by a liberal who turns conservative. Only the conservative, and like David Souter, you know, that Bush's father put on, he's pretty much, he's sort of a liberal.
But you gotta look at, in America, you either or. And the people that, the conservatives in the middle, they in the middle, so they ain't standing on solid ground anyway. Because either you're going to be strongly right or strongly wrong.
Well, now wait, how old are you?
Oh, I am 43 years old.
Okay. Oh, you thought you were still 39, huh, Turk?
Mm-hmm. It threw me off when you asked me that.
Okay, but you're still old enough to remember. It didn't used to be that way. You didn't used to have to be like some right-wing maniac or a left-wing maniac. There were people that was sort of in the middle, that were like normal, sane human beings.
Right. And my thing is, I would say 12 years ago, you didn't want to be labeled. Now, no matter what conversation you're talking about, they want to first identify you as whether
yep.
you are a liberal or a Democrat.
Yeah, every talk radio show, everybody has to go up and say, hello, I'm a liberal. Hello, I'm a... My favorite new one is, hello, I'm a Christian.
Uh-huh.
I don't care.
But I got one to throw you off now, because
okay.
I waited this long. Tell me about that crazy-ass Pat Robertson. Who in their right mind would follow this dude?
I don't know. I really don't. Even the right-wing people are getting fed up with him.
Man, I just happened to stumble across him on 7. And when have religious programs became so political with the government? That's something that you always wanted to keep separate anyway.
We did. They didn't. They always wanted to have the Christians take over, and now thanks to Bush, they're doing it.
Right, this is...
Alito guy, he doesn't believe so much in separation of church and state.
And then if they think American public is so stupid that they think that to make us feel like that one stage yesterday about the wife crying, and now the media is playing it up as Democrats are so bad they made this man wife cry. Come on, give me a damn break. If she that sensible, if anybody can stand to have someone electrocuted and don't have a problem with it,
yes.
then, you know, even if you're a Christian, you didn't believe in electrocution. You know what I'm saying? So how in the hell you gonna sit behind and cry just cause somebody said your husband was racist? God be damn, if that's the case, my wife would be crying every day about me being black. Come on, man, that shit was so sad. I mean,
either that or I think Alex Bennett said it or one of his callers said it, either it was staged or the woman is like really so emotionally fragile that he ought to stay home and take care of her and not be on the Supreme Court.
Right, and did you actually think you was coming there and hear people say good things about your husband? Fuck it, I'm hearing. What the hell you think you're gonna hear?
I know.
If you can't stand it, what the hell you in there crying for? That, you know, when I looked at that, I said, honestly, if I had to vote, I said I would not vote for him. You know why? Because his wife is weak, and your wife is an extension of you. So that means you are weak when it comes to judging. You make bad decisions.
I'm with you.
One, the wife you pick. If your wife is not strong enough to sit in there and know you're on national ass TV, she should be stronger than you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
I'm fucking crying. I'm like, get that bitch out. That man don't need that shit. This is just, you know, like I said, I'm a soldier, and this shit just make me sick to think that we're sitting around here putting our life on the line for bullshit that's going on in our political arena right now. And every time you look around,
have you been to Iraq?
Every time you look around, Sean Hannity talking about you're hurting the soldier, you're hurting the soldier, and then everything is staged. Did you hear about the speech yesterday Bush went done?
Oh yeah, he had another one of those town hall meetings where he invited the people.
Yeah, do you know how hard it is to get in there to be in one of those places?
Yes, I do.
Because, you know, they screen the shit out of you. And the questions they give to you on a card, if you're gonna ask a question.
Oh, you've been at them because he loves speaking to soldiers.
Right, and how?
Because you're not even allowed to say anything bad to him.
You better not. And then how many times, what makes, if I was Hispanic, I'd be mad as motherfucker. You're gonna get a Hispanic person and ask him a question and then try to show him that you speak Spanish. That's exploitation, man.
Yes, it is. Plus, the man can't even speak English.
Thank you. You know, so I would be furious with his ass. It's a good thing you can't do 12, but my last question to you is, Lynn.
Yes.
How are we gonna ever get back right in America now that they have manipulated the voting system?
I don't know. Well, you know what I think? I think we need a candidate in 2008 so strong that they can't manipulate enough votes for the person to lose.
Well, they done it. They done it. They done it two elections straight.
The 2000 was, I mean, I don't know how they got away with that. But all they did in 2004 was fuck with Ohio. Now, the fact is if Kerry could have won so big in so many states, I don't think they can screw up that many states.
I think if you're gonna solve this problem, you must count the popular vote this time, not an electoral issue.
You have to change the Constitution. Yeah. I would just say the simplest thing: go back to paper ballots.
Yeah, and then if we're talking about doing what's right, and we're setting an example, why in the hell is a country the size of Iraq get 30 days to count their votes, but we can count ours as big as America is in 12 hours? Now, you tell me. That's full of bullshit.
Oh, because, well, we're smarter than them.
Yeah, but, you know.
Have you been to Iraq?
Yes, twice.
Oh, my God. Are they going to send you back?
No. Retirement is coming.
Okay, yeah, well, do they let you retire there? Aren't they doing that thing now where you think you get to retire and then you get a letter saying, sorry.
Well, yeah, they could, but medically, I don't think they want to send me back over.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad. I mean, I'm not glad you have a medical condition, but I want you to keep calling me. I love you. You're fabulous.
I call you all the time.
Okay.
I got to call you when Bush's mother said that stuff about the Katrina.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're living better. It's better for them. They're so poor that they are so happy in a gym.
God.
Well, call me again. You're great.
Love it, man. Love that voice.
Thank you. Yeah, because he has an accent himself, but I love his accent. What can I tell you? Lynn Samuels. Siri, it is, isn't it? Well, just about. Yeah. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
Bill Press, right before Alex Bennett. Mornings at 6 East, 3 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
Oh, Dave, in poor old New Orleans. Hi.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
What, are you driving through, or do you live there?
I have an idea. Probably too late now, but is it possible that during these Senate confirmation hearings, that these senators can defer their time for questioning to someone who would be able to debate the nominee a little bit better than, say, Senator Kennedy? Because I think the questions that they come with, their staff, and after Alito answers these questions, there's little follow-up because they don't know how to respond, and they don't know how to debate.
I don't know if they can do that, but what's weird is so many of them are lawyers. I mean, Chuck Schumer is a lawyer, isn't he? Isn't Biden? So many of them are lawyers. You'd think that they would be able to do it.
But I think they're intellectual lightweights compared to those nominees. And I'm not an Alito fan, but I do know that he's probably has a much higher IQ than anybody that they have.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I'd say that he's more slick. I think he's he's slick, and look, he has been primed and told by the Republicans what to say. So he's just like somebody who's been coached. And like, do you ever watch all those shows on television, you know, Law and Order and everything, where the lawyers say to the clients, you know, like, just say this, don't say anything else. So, I don't know. I think that John Roberts was a really smart guy. I'm not sure about Alito. All right, you're gone. I mean, I knew he was gone while I was talking to him. I knew that guy was gone while he was talking, actually. But, I mean, they coach him. I don't think he's stupid, but I wouldn't say that I'm so sure he's smarter. John Roberts is probably smarter. Okay, Kelly, hi. Kitty.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Lynn? Okay, what's up?
I just love your program.
Thank you.
I can't tell you how much it means to me. What I'd like to make a comment about the justices, or the Judge Alto, or his wife, and her crying in the courtroom.
Oh, yesterday. God, yes.
I kind of thought maybe she was crying because he is a racist, and she was embarrassed.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
But it was just very inappropriate.
It was totally inappropriate. There's no way possible that that's acceptable. If she can't control herself, she should stay home. This is 206.
We should also find out why she doesn't use his last name, and why when Hillary didn't want to call herself Clinton, that was like a crime, and this woman can do it.
Well, I agree to that. I'm very much a Clinton fan. The other issue I'd like to talk about is the high ground about abortion. I'm the mother of 6, grandmother of 12, and great-grandmother of 5. And my comment is, what are you going to do with all these kids when we don't have abortion, that are born with crack cocaine and HIV and different things like that? The government, especially the Republican government, doesn't really care about the poor and the needy, and to take the high ground.
Or the middle class, even. They don't care about anybody.
No, they don't.
No, you make it. It's a perfectly good point that, you know, I've been saying for years, a lot of people have, that, you know, they love the fetus, but they hate the child.
That's right. It's wonderful. It's noble to bring a child into the world. I agree with that. But I also agree with responsibility of raising that child that you brought into the world. And if some of these kids that have abortion, I have one granddaughter that has had an abortion or two, and I didn't favor it or unfavor it. That's her moral decision, or her decision in life generally. I don't preach my convictions on abortion to anyone. That's up to the individual. I hope we do not go back to where all decisions as far as reproductivity goes to the man. It's so far treading backward for women, and even the thought of not being able to have an abortion if you want one.
Well, you know, there's another thing that people have been saying for years, which is if men were the ones who got pregnant, there'd be an abortion clinic on every corner in America.
You got that right.
You know, you're right. Look, it's a moral decision, and it's everybody's to make on their own. But there are so many other things wrong with this Alito guy. You know, this one man, one vote thing. And, you know, there are a million things wrong with him. I really wish they would expand what they're asking him.
Well, I can't believe the naivety that the people are ignoring. All the major people I talk to about politics, Jordan, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. People, they don't pay attention. I have to run. Thank you.
Okay, Lynn.
Wow. All those children and grandchildren. God, buy that woman earplugs for Christmas. And then she won't hear my second hour. I'm Lynn Samuel, Sirius Live 146. I'll be right back.
And now, the gospel according to Lynn. Lynn Samuels on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Live 146.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. of this. Ha! An innocent bystander. In a hard place, and I'm down on my luck. Yes, I'm down on my luck. Well, I'm down on my luck. I'm hiding in Honduras. I'm a desperate man. And lawyers, guns, and money. This shit has hit the fan. Oh, yes, and lawyers, guns, and money. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Dead warm and fever. Lung cancer. It's not funny. But I smoke, so it is funny. Okay. Al Gore is going to deliver a scathing speech on Monday. About, and say we're in a constitutional crisis. Because of the spying. Because of the spying. They don't really, now this is a raw story, original, you know, but they can't make up that he's making a speech. And he doesn't, what's wrong? I always sound horrible to me. No, I don't sound like him. No, no. What happened? Now there, that's weird. It's not like it's tomorrow and somebody came in and used the studio and changed something. This was like we were gone for like 3 minutes. Oh, all right. Well, you can't even explain what that is. Get a discrepancy report. Because somebody probably needs something to wipe their ass with. That's all those are good for. All right, so Gore is... An aide to Al Gore said this, because Al Gore, guess what? He writes his own speeches. Oh, my God, a literate person. I'm sure he gets help, you know. But Al Gore on Monday, you know, because Monday is, what do you call it, Martin Luther King Day. So we get a day off, thank God. Free at last. We're going to start paying. This weekend, see, we had the most beautiful week. 57 degrees in New York City today. But there are stories now all over the wire services that it is such a warm winter. Alaska, they have no snow. All those places where they're supposed to have snow in this country, no snow. Chicago is in the 50s. I still think, you know, that just means like in May we'll have a blizzard. You know, that's me. Expect the worst, and then when it doesn't happen, you're happy. Whereas a normal human being wouldn't be. But we are going to have a shitty weekend in New York. That's true. It's 57 here today. And you know what I dressed up like? I dressed up like an old lady with bad feet who sang, it's 57 degrees, I can put on sandals if I wear socks. So that I get my feet, my deformed, hideous, ugly, hammer toe, my feet could breathe a little bit. You know, prior to like May. I hate wearing shoes. That's another reason to move to Florida. See, you don't have to wear shoes ever. Anyway, how did I get from Al Gore and a constitutional crisis to my ugly feet? Because I'm obsessed with my ugly feet. And you know why my feet are ugly, other than genetics? Because I never liked feet. Even when my feet looked fine, I always said, ew, feet? Ew. So they got back at me by becoming, ew. So Al Gore is going to say we are at the point of constitutional crisis. The president who has violated the law is now acting above the law. It's a wake-up call for Congress, the American people, and the courts. If we continue down this road, we will have a different constitution. Nixon's quote about if the president does it, it's legal, is kind of like, is kind of like Bush saying, if it's about national security, it's legal. This is going to be called transpartisan. It's not about who your party is. It's about what America stands for. He could have been the president. Oh, my God. We could have had Al Gore. Instead of this shithead. So he's making this speech at the Daughters of the American Revolution Hall, which is something, because they're, like, not known for their left-wing-ism. And they have a nice museum there in D.C., the daughter, D.A.R. They have all displays of clothing and stuff. I love, you know, like, from the you know, 1700s, 1800s, clothing and handbags and jewelry and stuff. You know, very girly, because they're the Daughters of the American Revolution. And I'm building up to the big finish here. Guess who's introducing Al Gore to make this left-wing, liberal, you know, seditious, traitorous, communist speech? Former Representative Bob Barr, right-wing nut job. That's who's introducing him. Because Bob Barr, right-wing nut job, who was yelling about impeaching Bill Clinton even before anybody ever heard of Monica Lewinsky, that's how crazy this man was. Bob Barr was sitting in the House of Representatives in, I don't know, 1996, 97, before anybody ever heard the words Monica Lewinsky, saying this man needs to be impeached. I don't even know what the hell. I don't even know if he even had a reason. That's who's introducing Al Gore on Monday. Because the minute he got out of Congress, Bob Barr, he said, well, he was all for civil liberties when he was in Congress. But, you know, I guess nobody wanted to hire him, so he went to work for the ACLU. And he has devoted his life to fighting for civil liberties, which are not the same as civil rights. So he's introducing Al Gore. So that's going to make it a little hard, isn't it? Well, nothing's hard for them. But, you know, when they want to call Al Gore, they like to call him a traitor and seditious and insane. You know, he's crazy and a liar and, you know, all of that. So they just, I guess, what would the technique be? The technique would be they won't mention Bob Barr introduced him. Or they'll say that Bob Barr has been sucked into the evil vortex of the left-wing, you know, matrix. Can you be in a vortex of a matrix? Sounds pretty tough. He was sucked into the maelstrom of the vortex of the matrix. and was never seen again in his right mind. Poor Bob Barr. But there he is. I've told this before, haven't I? He was a guest once on Drudge's TV show, when Drudge had a TV show. And Drudge always had guests. You know, they have satellite hookups, right? You know, people are... never had trouble with a guest. And they were talking about... and this was a long time ago. Drudge hasn't had that TV show since, what, about 2000? Or 1999 or something. It's a long time. They were talking about Echelon. The thing spying... you know, the weird thing about this NSA spying is they were spying on everybody's phone calls and internet and everything back in the 90s when Clinton was the president. They had this capacity and they were using it. You know, Clinton was doing it. I mean, I know the left, you're supposed to say nobody ever did this before. But Echelon certainly was that. So, and Bob Barr, even back then, even when he wanted Clinton impeached and all, he, you know, was always for civil liberties, and he never liked all the spying crap going on. So he's sitting on TV, you know, but when was that show on? Saturday night. And talking about Echelon, and for the first and only time in like 18 months or 2 years, the Drudge had a TV show. The satellite just crapped out and went away. Disappeared. Couldn't get him back. Made you wonder, doesn't it? I mean, it is kind of a coincidence, isn't it? That the only guest ever lost on that particular show on Fox was Bob Barr when he was talking about Echelon, who probably heard itself being talked about and said, let's stop this right here and now. So he's, you know, I guess... not everybody is all bad. I suppose that's what that means. Oh, talking about spying. I left this up. There is now a dress code in British bars, British pubs. Oh, they put a picture of the guy up. I love these stories that I put up, and they change. I put this up yesterday, and they didn't have a picture of the man. This is a 64-year-old grandfather wearing a trilby. What's the difference between a trilby and a fedora? I don't know. He's wearing like a hat, like a man's hat, like a grown-up's hat, like people here used to wear in the 50s or something. And he went into a pub, and he wasn't even drinking booze. He was like drinking a soda, which I don't know why. She's... you know, in this bar in the center of London. And he was told that he would have to take his hat off. Now, are they excessively polite? You know, because I guess you're not supposed to wear a hat indoors. You know, that's when people were polite, and they are British. No, that's not why. It's because the closed-circuit TV camera has to see your face. Your face can't be obscured. Now, actually, the hat does not in any way hide this man's face. But you're not allowed to wear a hat or a hooded top in bars in England or in this chain of bars or this bar. Because, you know, there are more surveillance cameras in England than there are... probably in the whole world combined. Every person in England is surveilled hundreds of times a day. Hundreds of times. So they made this man. He goes, I'm a grandfather having a non-alcoholic drink. But in case anything happens, they have to see your face. Did they have to see the face of that kid they shot right after the subways got bombed? They didn't have to see his face, did they? No, we'll just shoot you. So that's like the dress code for the spy cameras now. He shouldn't call himself elderly. He's only 64. He says he's worn the hat for 20 years. When I started as a journalist, it used to be de facto to have a belted coat and a trilby, he said. And, I was annoyed. I was put out, and I was surprised. And the manager said it's a pub rule to enable the CCTV, that's closed-circuit TV cameras, recording any incidents to see people's faces. What kind of bullshit? It'll happen here. I'm sorry, you can't get on the subway with that hat on. Because people just don't care. People, I don't understand how people just give up their rights. Just totally give up their rights. It's the most amazing thing I have ever seen in my entire life. Oh, yeah, I'll go to the doctor, take my blood. Certainly, if I have diabetes, by all means, hand that information to the government of the city. I had a story yesterday, which I took off today, from the Christian Science Monitor, that more and more bosses, places of employment, are saying they won't hire people if they smoke. Not if they smoke at work. If you smoke. If you drink. If you're fat. They are trying to control your behavior outside the workplace by denying you employment because of things you do. And there are no laws, apparently. There are absolutely no laws that prevent them from that. There was it wasn't a sidebar. It may have been in the paper, but it was underneath. That somebody was fired for wearing an anti-Bush t-shirt. And apparently the First Amendment doesn't cover that. If it's a private company, they can fire you. And somebody was fired because she parked in the company parking lot. She had a Kerry sticker on her car. So you're not protected. And, of course, you don't like how Bush uses national security as an excuse. What is their excuse? Well, we give them health care, and it's too expensive if they're going to smoke, if they're going to drink. I mean, what do they do? Are they going to say, well, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to go skiing on your vacation? You're not allowed to, I don't know, what are like dangerous things people, oh, you own a skateboard? Oh, Garrett, you know, we found out during that transit strike that you have rollerblades. You know how dangerous that is? Sorry, Garrett, bring them in, turn them in, you know, to Jeremy. So every goddamn thing we do is just being watched over by somebody. This is absolutely outrageous. Oh, what are they going to do? Follow you? Jesus, Frank, I saw you go to McDonald's again today. You're only allowed to go to McDonald's twice. Where does it end? Where does it end? You know, what are they going to do? Your boss can say, since now, you know, they just sent me in the mail. I had some credit card. I don't know which one, but then Chase bought it. So I now have a Chase credit card. And I now have, it's a Blink card. It's one of those, if you go into one of those places with a Blink machine or a tap or something, I don't know, but I can be charging, I guess, hamburgers, you know, by waving my card somewhere. Number one, how do you even keep track of that? Why would you want to do that? When my bank gave me a card, I said, I don't want a debit card. How do you keep track of how much money you're spending? I mean, first of all, if you can't afford to go into McDonald's and pay money, but they want a cashless society. They really want everything run that way. Why? Because I suppose people can't keep track of it, and they're going to get that much more interest. Because what would you have to do? What is the advantage to the consumer? Other than that they say, well, it's faster. But what is the advantage If you have a limited amount of money in a checking account or a credit, I don't even know how they work. I don't know where the money comes from. But if you have a limited amount of money and you're blinking and tapping and whatever, and you have no idea how much money you who would keep track? I would. But I'm a Virgo, and I am like such a pain in the ass. I would stop. I'd wave my card to get out, and then I'd use that extra moment to take out a notebook. You know, and at least jot down, you know, like McDonald's, $6, you know, like some approximation. I don't think that's an advantage to most people, to have no idea how much money you're spending. What is that advantage? It's an advantage to the people who are going to then get to say, oh, you owe us $40 million in interest. It's going to take you 300 years to pay this back. And I don't want that kind of a card. But they sent it to me. And it's like, you better activate this immediately. Because what? My other one will stop working, right? I don't want it. But I guess you have no, I guess I have no choice. That you know, I want the credit card. And there was an article. And what good is it? You have to dig the card out. There was an article over the weekend that there are people, oh, kids think this is cool. They're having chips embedded in their hand that sign you on the computer. So I think the real next step with these cards, you know, and kids love this shit, man. I don't mean children. I mean, you know, people in their 20s, you know, hip, cool, happening. This idea that if you just, you know, you wave your hand, you get your McDonald's, wave your hand, goodbye. You're gone. We are so fucked. Rent Gattaca. That's all I have. Just Rent Gattaca. For any reason or no reason. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
The Young Turks. Weekdays at 6 p.m. East, 3 p.m. West. On Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
Okay, so you have to go to Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Samuels.com, and you have to click... Well, you could click German cannibal back on trial for eating internet volunteer. He is. He's being tried again. Because the appeals court said he didn't get a tough enough sentence, the German cannibal. That is some weird story. Taiwan breeds green glowing birds. You have to click that on. Not if you're driving, you know. Because in Taiwan, see, now they really did this. This is not going to be like that South Korean lying sack of shit. They took... pigs and added genetic material from jellyfish. Okay? They added jellyfish stuff into a pig embryo, and they have now got 100% green glowing pigs. These are real pigs. Click it on. It is like so, I'm against cloning and all this genetic mixing. This is like so fucking cool. Like, wouldn't you want one of these? George Clooney would like have an orgasm. Wouldn't he? Because he had Max the Pig, or he still has him. I don't know. There were rumors Max the Pig died, you know, and then they said that's a lie. Maybe Max the Pig made that Angelina Jolie pregnant. Oh, no, that was Brad the Pig. But these pigs are green. They've had partially green pigs, but they have made totally green glow-in-the-dark pigs. And in daylight, their eyes and their skin are, like, tinged a little bit green. I mean, I think this is, like, evil. You know, what is the point of having green glowing pigs, you know, so you can find them in the dark? Or so that your pet could be a nightlight? Now, there's an idea. You know, like, is it a pet? Is it a nightlight? But it's just such a cool picture, the top picture, with it. Jesus. It's disgusting. God's going to punish us. God is going to punish us for this shit. Oh, and thank you all the people who sent me the MP3s of Bill Barth, the foul-mouthed comedian from the 50s. And I said, oh, I'm going to have to send this to Garrett. Listen to it, you know, say, see what to pick out and what I'm going to play. And guess what I discovered? Did you ever finally see a movie on DVD, you know, that you had seen 30 years ago, or in Garrett's case, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and you had such fond memories, and you said, oh, my God, it's on DVD. And you go, what did I ever see in that? So I listened to this one side of one Bill Barth album that was the main MP3 people found. And I'm like, this really isn't that funny. It's not funny enough to play. It's like a cultural artifact, you know. But it's not funny, and it's not even shocking, because she really, I thought she said every dirty word on earth, but she didn't. She'd say, like, dick. So I'll tell you what it is. It's a product of two things. The times that she did it in. You know, she had her own club on 23rd and Collins. Wow. It's like, I think right around where the fountain blue is. But it's like, I don't know. It's a product that people didn't tell sexual jokes then in public. I mean, people did. You know, I said yesterday, I was thinking of Red Fox, you know, who everybody knows from Sanford and Son, but Red Fox was one of the first of the foul-mouthed, oh, my God, merciful heaven. That's what he was famous for to me. But I wonder now if you would even listen to him if he was so foul-mouthed. And somebody emailed me and said, Buddy Hackett, nobody know. I mean, you had to see a lot of these people live, you know, to see them, to use the cliche of people who try to sound like entertainment insiders, to see these people working blue. But I hate that. I can't stand that I said that. That's like, you know who would say that. Oh, I'm such an insider. But they tell, you know, they did in live shows. They were filthy. You know, a lot of these people. But I'll tell you, Bill Barth, maybe it's that when I was listening to her, I was 10, 12 years old also, you know, that it sounded so much racier back then. But thank you, everybody who looked it up for me and sent it to me. And because I didn't email people back, because when I email people back, sometimes then I lose the email and then I can't open them and then I didn't want to. I'll tell you the truth. I really didn't open any of the attachments anybody sent me. I didn't, because I'm not opening attachments from strange people. I know you love me, and I know you're my fans and everything, but you never know if there's, like, one nasty person out there that's going to give me a virus. So I appreciate all the attachments you sent me, but I just Googled her myself. And found, actually, there was one main thing that kept coming up. Side two of whatever album. You know, but I really won't, you know. I know you love me, but I'm not opening your attachments. Tracy in Canada.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing, Lynn?
Sorry I made you hold on that long from a whole foreign country.
Oh, it's worth the wait, isn't it?
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Well, I'd like to thank you and your staff for putting on such a good show.
Oh, my God, that staff, my rod and my staff, how they comfort me.
Well, the thing is, turn it off. The thing is that when you phone a talk show and you mention that you're a truth seeker, usually they hang up on you. Hello?
Well, who says truth seeker? Mike Malloy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've kind of adopted it for myself because I've studied, you know, all these issues that have been thrown up since 9-1-1. What about the anthrax attack? Like, that's a weapon of mass destruction used in America, and everyone seems to just forget about it, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I mention it every now and then.
Oh, sure you do, but... You know,
well, they managed to ruin that one guy's life, that guy Stephen Hatfield.
Oh, for sure.
They're never going to find out who did it, because they don't want to, because probably Dick Cheney and George Bush did that too.
For sure. I'd just like to mention a few quick things, Lynn. We got to say hello to the NSA because they'll probably be listening in on this phone call.
That's well, cool. And fuck you!
And fuck you. That's right. You betcha. You know, I've been looking really closely at things for the last couple of years. I canceled my papers. I shut off my television, you know.
But you had a baby.
What's that?
You had a baby, didn't
well,
you?
Well, that's right. Yeah. That's good, eh?
I hear that little truth seeker in the background.
Yeah, she's a little truth seeker for sure. But I get kind of nervous when I do these things, too. What I'd like to mention is when 911 happened, you know, I was so sucked in by the media. I believed all their crap. I was just the worst polarized person on earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just buying the story. And I was so wrong. And people have got to...
So does that make you bipolarized?
No, not at all. No. But people, if they take a closer look, it's a painful subject, but it's so important to everything.
Well,
the judicial nomination.
People do not want to believe that the government did 9/11. They can't bring themselves to believe it.
I know.
I can.
Well, the thing is I look and I use my critical thinking and you look closely and don't let other people tell you what's real and what's not on such important things. My brother, who I love, is a consultant in the oil field in Alberta. He's the boss. He's so smart. He's just not. He gets almost violently angry when you bring this up.
Well,
and I love him.
Yeah, I think it really is. Thank you for calling, dear. Thank you for holding on so long. I think it's a defense mechanism. People cannot. You know, some people just think we're crazy. And there are other people who I think might believe that the government really did 9/11. But they can't bring themselves. There's like a hurdle, you know, to believe something so horrible. So horrible. I don't know why. I never had the least bit of a problem believing it. Okay. We're going to take a break. I guess I'll take these calls, but it's Tabloid Thursday. And I'm sitting here, you know what I bought? Sinclair Lewis, It Can't Happen Here. Novel, 1935. It's about how this country becomes a fascist dictatorship. And they keep putting out new editions since the year 2000. They can't put out new editions fast enough. I wonder why. But, of course, you think any bookstore ever has the $7.99 one? No. It's three editions in paperback. There's the $14 one. I think a large print paperback. And the normal one. The $7.99 one. The one, you know, it's not so big. You could, well, try to find that one. So I just said, you know what? Give fucking Borders $14. You know? It's going to get cold again. You don't have time to race around. All right, I'll be right back. Take the calls, and then we'll look at the tabloids. How about that? I'm Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left 146.
Stephanie Miller, right after the Young Turks, weeknights at 9 East, 6 West on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Oh, Jesus. Bush went to New Orleans or something. I'm not even clicking the story on. Says he sees a dramatic change on the Gulf Coast. Yeah, the niggas are gone. Is that what he said? Ah, no niggas around here. Last time I was around, there were all these black people. Jesus, where'd they go? I'm sorry. I know people, I use that word to be politically incorrect and it hurts people's feelings. But I'm using it in an ironic and nasty to Bush way. And Condoleezza Rice is concerned about Iran and the nukes. So am I. No, this is really serious. This thing about Iran and the nukes, you know why? Because you know who's upset? France, Germany, you know, the real countries. The ones that, like, didn't want to go running in and invading Iraq. They're scared shitless. We're going to be at war with Iran, and I don't know how you're even going to say you shouldn't be. Here is a country that, I mean, on some level, I really don't think it's our right to tell a country you can't have nukes. On the other hand, the president of that country is a raving maniac. Of course, if you went by that, then we would have to give back all our nukes right now, you know, until Bush leaves. But I don't think you can be letting them have nuclear weapons. I really don't. That man is crazy as a fucking fruitcake over there. So I don't know that you know, if they bombed, did you say, well, I think maybe we might have to. I really do. What are you going to do? Because the guy's nuts. They're like a perfectly good head of that country. What was his name? He was like, you know, normal. Maybe that's the trend now. It's like every country. They said, oh, look at that crazy sack of shit got to be president of the United States.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Look at that. If a crazy sack of shit like that can be president of the United States, why can't a few other crazy people, idiots, run countries? It's probably what, you know, motivated this lunatic in Iran. So we're probably going to be bombing them any minute. And I'm sure the left will explain to me why I'm supposed to say we shouldn't. But I don't really know why we shouldn't. You know, except in general that you shouldn't bomb people. John in Hartford, or wherever.
Len, John.
Yes, what's up?
I changed my tack a little bit as far as the reason I was calling, because you got off.
I don't care. Just get to it.
I have two words for you. Mitt Romney. And I will bet you money that he becomes the next president of the United States.
What about John Warner? If we're gonna throw around names nobody's heard of yet. Mark Warner.
Mitt Romney.
Okay.
Declared September 24th, 2005, as Freemason Day in Massachusetts. And that's where the real power structure is in the United States. Not to sound like a kook or get off on a tangent.
Freemasons?
But if you look up Freemasons and find out who most of the founding fathers were and who really has the control of the power structure, go to
about the Bilderbergers? What about the Trilateral Commission?
Exactly.
What about Skull and Bones? Oh, are they all the same?
But yes. Go to a website called...
Nuts on Parade.
Listen, I'm just telling you.
Yes.
Go to a website called theforbiddenknowledge.com.
Yes.
Give it a chance. Read through it. Digest a little bit and see what you think of it.
Okay. Thank you. You're yoga bomb doing that. Robert in Manhattan.
Hello.
What's up?
I think that... Ted Kennedy and the other Democrats are just going through the motions about the nomination.
You think? You think they know? Well, why don't they, like, ask him real questions, which might change the mind of a few Republicans, and then try to filibuster him?
Remember Clarence Thomas?
I remember him well.
Remember his nomination?
Yes, and what good did it do them? There he is, sitting there, moron. Yeah, I guess you're right. What's the use? But we say can't just give up.
I have another thing to discuss with you.
Okay.
My cousin is a producer for ABC Television.
Yes.
And he was invited to a cocktail party at the White House.
Yes.
So he asked his mother to go with him.
Yes.
And she's vehemently opposed to Iraq.
Yes.
But she got a picture taken with Bush. So now she's happy with him.
Boy, she's certainly, I think you call that like a whore, but what a cheap whore.
Yeah.
I mean, God, you can buy her off with a picture. I wouldn't go to the White House. I would have my picture. Would they take a picture if you were like holding your hand up and making ears over his head?
Maybe.
I bet they wouldn't. I bet they tell the White House photographer not to do that. Thanks, hon.
Thanks.
I had my picture taken with David Dinkins, my darling David Dinkins, the mayor of New York, and I had a picture taken right in the West Wing in the little hall between the Oval Office and George Stephanopoulos' office with George. But I don't have that on display anymore because George is a sack of shit. George Stephanopoulos was the first person who turned on Clinton and wrote in his book like he should resign or something. So I have the picture, but it's in the cabinet. But I remember how excited I was when I had it taken. I was very excited. Gary in Connecticut.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, hey, why shouldn't we bomb Iran?
There's without a doubt in my mind that the leader there is definitely trying to antagonize us, is definitely trying to get us to do this to him, and wants this to happen. We have to just ask ourselves exactly at this point, if he is trying to do this, why and what would he be up to? And the only reason he would be trying to do that is because he'd be trying to antagonize the youth over there and get them more riled up with the rest of the world against us, and then with his own country and his own policies, and then hopefully move this right back in. Take it right back into Iraq, where all our troops are just sitting there, nice and pretty for them to come and get. That's I think the strategy that they should be pursuing there is exactly like you were saying. Keep drumming it in. Keep drumming it in. What a complete kook. What a complete loony is.
One of them really is really close to having nuclear weapons, and he is crazy, and he could nuke anywhere. I mean, he could nuke Iraq and our soldiers. He could nuke Israel. You know, he could nuke, I forget what they say. What is the European country the closest to? He can get somewhere.
Oh, yeah. France, Europe, Greece. But, you know, wait a minute. You're simply saying that he's close to having the weapon. If he isn't close to having the weapon, it's another reason for him to antagonize us to try to get him to bomb it. Because his, let's go back and we know that there was a past policy that was talked about how they were giving away fake secrets to try to stall these policies. If the Iranians back then got a hold of these bad blueprints and have been going by these bad blueprints, they're nowhere near having.
Well, but how do we know? See, the reason that I'm getting nervous is because now it's not just idiot Bush. You know, now it's like actual countries like Germany and France. You know, it's countries that didn't want to go into Iraq that are really getting nervous.
Because they're buying the whole hook, line, and scandal, too.
Well, okay, we'll see. I want to take another call, okay? Thank you. Tom in Palm Springs.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, what's up?
I love you, and with all due respect, I'll tell you why we should not bomb Iran.
Okay, see, I knew people would tell me why.
And it's because if you read history books, and obviously I'm not referring to you now, but the leaders of our country obviously are pretty fucking dumb, and don't remember history. And the fall of many empires in the past in history, the Romans, the Turks, throughout the Middle East, the empires fell because they spread out their resources too far, and I think we're stretched to the limit right now.
See, what would happen with Iran is we would bomb nuclear facilities the way, you know, what did Israel bomb Iraq or something 20 years ago? We wouldn't be sending soldiers.
But Lynn, our resources are stretched. Look, where were all the helicopters when Katrina hit? They were all overseas, and people died because we didn't have the resources to take care of them immediately.
Okay, that is a reason. But that guy makes me like very nervous. That crazy man over there.
Okay. I love you. Thank you.
He does. All right, we'll zoom through these. Jesus, the cover of the National Enquirer is that one survivor from the mine disaster. That his brother gave them this picture of the guy with the tubes in him down his throat. And it says, Denzel's wife confronts him over womanizing. I thought Denzel Washington was like the most faithful husband that ever lived. Wasn't he the guy who wouldn't even kiss women in movies? Because he thought that was being unfaithful. That even in a movie, as a character? So now his wife is confronting him. He's like womanizing. Says the Inquirer, so it must be true. Hey, this is Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146, so it must be true. Okay, I'm just looking at Droid. Alito is going to be confirmed. Oh, God, when are people going to fucking wake up, you stupid moron? So let's read the Globe, because at least that's not up. It says, Katie and Tom, the wedding is off. Bitter fight leaves pregnant Katie in tears. Good. Nothing could be better for her. Robert Redford is 68 years old, and it says with this picture, it says, he looks a little long in the tooth. Well, he's 68 years old. Okay. Get used to it. He's old. Britney pregnant again? Oh, God, that girl. That girl. What is to become of her? I really like her. I mean, I don't like anything about her, but she's such a mess. Kiefer's crazy booze binge. Oh, my God, he's laying on the floor with a cigarette in his... He really is a mess. They're all a mess. Natalie, they found a bloody sneaker. I got this email from these two people in Australia that were here for a long time, and they listened to me, and they said, what's up with Natalie Holloway? You know, we don't hear anything about her over here. So I'll keep looking for her because it's a nice vacation for the news anchors. Who's this riding his bike in his underwear? Oh, that's Jack Black. He's nice. What else? That's an old picture, though. Hero sailor gunned down. Rocker murder shocker. Oh, you know, they found the people that killed Brian Harvey and his wife and his daughter. The House of Freaks guy. It was these two guys who they killed this guy and his family. They killed another family somewhere, just like two crazy people. It wasn't anybody who knew them. It wasn't anything. It was, oh, my God, how vulnerable is everybody? Like two crazy men just came in and killed this guy and his wife and his two kids and somebody else. Oh, you're giving me 1 minute. Their wedding is off. Jim Carrey is a normal, sensitive human being. Let's go to the Inquirer here. Kiefer collapses. They're all into Kiefer Sutherland. How does he be in that show that's so physical if he's a drunk still? You know, I can see being able to do a show if you're a drunk. But I can't see being in a show where you're that physical. All right, I don't know, there's nothing too interesting. Lacey's mom. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Lou Rawls, his bitter and sad last days. Thank God. Sick of hearing about everybody's brave last days. Good for you, Lou. You had bitter sad last days like most of us will. I'm Lynn Samuels, and if I don't have a bitter sad last day, I'll be back tomorrow. Sirius Left 146.